arrive a tourist, leave a local.
Yes, I love that.
What's the first thing that most people do when they're on vacation? Or certainly the kind of customers that we're looking for, the people who beeline for the concierge, right? And the first question is not, you know, show me how to get to Applebee's. What you say is like, where do the locals eat?
What's
like,
a good place for Mexican food?
Where's a good place for Mexican food? And sometimes, you know, in LA, that won't even be a place. It might be a truck. It might be a, you know, a sidewalk street corner.
You had me at taco truck.
Exactly. So having that kind of content, I think, is important. And so you'll see that our listicle content and things like that will evolve.
Welcome to the News Nirvana podcast. I'm your host, Nick Parker. The News Nirvana podcast features conversations with media professionals from across the country, highlighting our ever-evolving business models and showcasing the strong and effective journalism produced each and every day. This podcast is made possible to you by the generosity of Blox Digital. Blox Digital empowers content producers to connect with their worldwide audiences at scale and continuously transform to achieve their business goals. Contact Blox Digital today to learn more about how they can help you thrive. Connect with them at BloxDigital.com. Hello and welcome back to the News Nirvana podcast. I'm your host, Nick Parker. With me for this episode is guests from Travel Host and TravelHost.com, Orestes Baez and Scott Davis. Welcome, guys.
Hi, Nick. Thanks for having us.
Good morning.
I'm a little excited about this one. I think it's fun to talk to people who are kind of, you know, very niche in their industries and publications. But I also like there's a little bit here that I really like. When we met for our pre-show call a few weeks ago, you told me that print was still big for you, that it was still a vital piece of your plan and your success. And I just, to me, that I love hearing that, because we talk digital all the time, and we know in this industry that digital is important and we have to shift gears. We can't fight it like we did in the 90s, but it's good to hear that there's still a place for print and we can still get the ad dollars from print that keep us sustainable.
Yeah, it's really interesting, Nick. When we took over the company in late 2022, it had been recast much smaller than its heyday. In its heyday, it was 130 cities. So imagine 130 magazines printed and distributed across the U.S. that were all for destination travel. It was, you know, coming back out of COVID, and, you know, we looked at it, and the cornerstone of the strategy was build the audience in print, migrate to digital to extend the reach. And so we were very aggressive the first year to open up as many markets as possible. And I can tell you, to a market, we can go in and there is a high degree of print focused on travel in that market. So we were super excited that we had a print product that we could leverage. And of course, today we also have a digital product to complement that. So, but we still follow the model that we open a market with a glossy magazine delivered quarterly, and we grow the audience from there.
What is it that you think makes it work that way, that you can, that's how, that is your entry point into the market?
So the user experience was born in a hotel room. So you can imagine you walk into a hotel room, and in the old days, Bill Marriott wanted some information in the hotel room for TV listing. So this commercial printer filled that void and grew it into this business. So you weren't walking in looking at your phone. You were walking in carrying your bag, probably too many bags. You had to balance, throw something on the bed, get the kids situated, figure out where you're going to put this. Turn, is the TV on? Open the screen. How, is the room cold? Is it hot? You know, you got all these things going on. And then you look over and there was a Travel Host magazine on the desktop that gave you some insight on where to eat, shop, stay, and play. So that's become kind of the comfortable methodology to reach those people. But what happened post-COVID was we had to leverage that audience differently, because there was a whole fear of transmission in the room of people touching magazines and leaving, right? And they didn't want to get, of course, paper didn't transmit COVID, but we didn't know that then.
Yeah, we went to stickers with QR codes on everything.
Right? Like, and everything, everything was wrapped in plastic in your hotel room, And so we went to a near room experience. So high traffic points in the hotel lobby, front desk check-in. Some stations where a lot of printed materials were already appearing. And so, the travel industry has this niche that the user is comfortable seeing it in print. They're comfortable reading about Dollywood in print. They're comfortable about reading Nashville recording artists in print. And so they pick it up, they leaf through it. They go, oh, that's great. We can go, when the good kids go to bed and we're all starving, we'll go eat here kind of thing. But we also recognize that, as those people age out and more and younger people fill the void, that we've got to provide a digital, tool as well. And so we mimicked our digital product mimics the print product. It's not the end all be all. It provides the information only in the cities that we print a printed product currently. And so that helps you take it with you, right? So now it's not cumbersome. I don't have to take the 8.5 by 12 or 11 magazine with me in my bag or in my backpack, my purse, wherever. I can just take it with me on my phone and I might look through it when I get back to the room kind of thing. So it was really kind of a fit of, it's super easy to use, it's super easy to understand, and now, I can take it with me with this super easy digital tool. It's really kind of an exciting opportunity for us. We think there's a lot of room to grow.
Has that conversion from, taking them from that print user in the hotel room and then they walk out the door and they're using their devices, whatever they may be. I mean, has that been easy to get that conversion?
Yeah, I think it hasn't. It's happening at a much faster rate today than it ever has. And so we've been very careful not to overshadow the print product as we promote the digital product. We love the beautiful imagery that shows up in the print product. We love the beautiful imagery of the hiking trail that you can go on in the Appalachians or the caverns you can see in California or the river raft that you can go down, out west, right? That idea of, gosh, I want to be there, right? I'm a destination traveler. Those are things that interest me. I want to show them to you in large format ways to make it as exciting as possible. We're very careful not to overshadow that and try to complement that digitally, just make it easier for you. It's really exciting because, even on our homepage where we show content based on level of attraction, we had a story up about what it meant to be Amish. I think it was number one for like a week. Everybody said, wow, that's a mystery. Can define it for me because I hear everybody talk about it, but I don't know what that means. So it was unbelievable. It's driving tremendous traffic. We have partner groups with us and other companies that create some content, some cruising content that drive tremendous traffic. We've repopulated that onto our website. And we're just starting, right? I mean, the content creation portion of the business didn't have kind of a universal methodology. And we're starting to evolve that. We're starting to look at, hey, what's the good content that we want to put in the printed product to make that engaging and then carry them onto digital?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. So the printed product is, we're becoming really interesting. So we're getting a lot of local writers to start submitting stuff. We're writing some things ourselves. We're dabbling in some AI generated content to see how that looks, because we don't have a newsroom. We don't have an editorial staff. We're not trying to mislead anybody. It's just content that we're creating. But the content stuff is getting really interesting. We're getting a lot of people that are starting to look at our content a lot more than they ever have, which is, it's kind of one of those things that makes you kind of stop and go, I wonder if there's more there.
I want to stick a pin in the content part of the conversation. I want to come back to that. But before we do, I want to switch over to Scott just for a second and talk about, because I know you're running the marketing strategies, and I want to get in a little bit on the, what is the strategy there of pushing people? I mean, look, your magazine's in the room. They walk in, it's in the room, or you've got your stuff in the lobby. What is your strategy to keep them, keep them in your loop?
Yeah, it's
they're doing.
It's a great question. So we've talked a lot, and it's not, you know, I'm not the first person to say this, but what digital and print allow you to do is be the right medium at the right time. And it's really important for us to give people, however they choose to consume information, the right path to purchase, right? And what's interesting is, you know, for those who, you know, the reports of the death of print, I think, have been greatly exaggerated, right? You know, and there's some really great data around this. You know, almost 50% of people who go on vacation, so one out of two agree that if they have a phone in their hand, they can't unplug. So we've seen the whole digital detox movement, right? That when people are going on taking, you know, people, what I think is always humorous is people are declaring their social media breaks, right? Bye guys, I'll see you in a week, as if they're going off the face of the planet, right? So we know that. The other thing is really interesting from a YouGov survey is that 73%, so three out of four of all adults 18 plus love the touch and feel of a printed magazine. So there's a reason that LPs and other, you know, analog experiences have come back and they're far more tactile. So the combination of print and digital allow us to be the right medium at the right time. And ultimately what we're trying to create, Nick, is an experience where I call it the pre, during, and post experience of travel, right? We all kind of know the pre-plan, you know, when you are starting to figure out what, you know, where you want to go, what you want to do, what airlines you want to travel, you're starting to make those specific choices. And there are plenty of transactional sites out there, the Expedias of the world and others, that are very good at getting you the transactional information, right? And then on the other side of the equation, if you want to kind of like imagine where to go or what to do, there's a lot of what I like to call the steady wanderlust sites, mm-hmm. which is, you know, your Atlas Obscuras, your Fodors, right? And they're very like pie in the sky, very internationally based and all of that. What we saw in the middle that's a real miss is hyper-local intelligence for the domestic US traveler. And that's where we're really building our product around, right? Which is, you know, we've also seen data that suggests that when people are in a market, no disrespect to our friends at Applebee's or McDonald's, but you can eat that anywhere nationwide.
Right.
But when you're in San Diego, you want to know what the local Italian restaurant is in Little Italy. And ideally,
I don't want to eat anywhere I can eat at home.
That's right. And ideally, you know, what you want is that tip that says, hey, make sure to talk to Nick, the maitre d' on Tuesdays, because they've got an off the menu special that you won't see otherwise. So that's the kind of hyper-local information that we're trying to provide to people.
Everybody wants to be an insider.
Exactly. And so it's as if you have a concierge in your pocket, pre, during, and post your travel experience. So that's how we're kind of building the audience. And those are the specific kinds of folks that we're looking for.
How are you guys then? I mean, this is a great segue back to content. How are you getting that? So, you know, you just said we don't have a newsroom. How are you curating that content and populating your sites?
Yeah.
So the model that we use is we put a person in market. So there's a physical body in every market. They are the brand locally. They are the content aggregator locally. So they're with the Convention and Visitors Bureau. They're with the Chamber of Commerce. They're with the Hotel Association. They're with the Concierge Association. They're with the Attraction Association. They establish a relationship and then they request content and they usually get it, and or they actually pen content themselves. And so we provide listings in our magazines for businesses locally, and we have a structure that we follow, and they will provide some entry points for the content. And then we've got an individual that massages it, researches it, looks it up, and makes it pretty and easier to read. And then populates it and puts it on the product. And then we print it on the web. We print it in print, print it on the web. So we've got, you know, these 21 folks around the country that, you know, and again, you have to understand that it's a market that on one extreme, we've been in the same place for 40 years. And in the other extreme, we just published our first product, right? So that's the scope of our 21 cities. And so, you know, the longer you're in the market, the easier it is for content generation and content creation because you're more known. In the newer markets, you know, you got to hustle, you got to make the connection, you got to make the relationship, you got to get the content and stuff, then dress it up. So, you know, we really partner on the local level as much as possible. And when we need to, we'll be original about writing the content as well. and populate it with our own photographs and whatnot. But we have physical presence in every market.
Yeah, I think it makes a huge difference, Nick, when there's an authenticity to, like, when I'm dining in the restaurants that I'm recommending, right? And I've physically had the scampi and I can represent, you know, recommend the scampi, right? I think it makes a huge difference when you're actually staying in these hotels and visiting these attractions. And certainly, you know, of the bigger attractions, right? There are more than enough blogs out there for people to get information about Disneyland. But what you may not know are the five streets that are around Disneyland that have some of the best, you know, Asian American food in the country, right? It's things like that, that we're trying to bring a hyper-local sensibility to, which we think is a true point of difference for the brand.
Yeah, I mean, we all like being tourists, but we also want, you know, my thing is I want to find what's the great restaurant the poor people go to. That's where the food's at. That's what I want.
Right.
Right.
Scott's got a great phrase that we picked up in the middle of a conversation. One of our longtime operators just sort of mentioned it, you know, in the middle of a sentence. And we all had one of these aha moments. And the phrase he used was, arrive a tourist, leave a local.
Yes. I love that. I love that.
Right. And think about your experience, whether it's digital or in print. What's the first thing that most people do when they're on vacation? Or certainly the kind of customers that we're looking for, the people who beeline for the concierge, right? And the first question is not, you know, show me how to get to Applebee's. And again, no disrespect to our friends at Applebee's, great establishment. But what you say is like, where do the locals eat? You know, right? Where's a good place for Mexican food? And sometimes, you know, in LA, that won't even be a place. It might be a truck. It might be a sidewalk street corner. And so, you know,
taco truck.
Exactly. It's certainly in Los Angeles, right? The best food is not going to come in a restaurant, you know, it's on the street. So having that kind of content, I think, is important. And so you'll see that our listicle content and things like that will evolve. The other thing that we do that's a little different is, you know, a lot of the data aggregator sites, when they have hyper-local intelligence, it's brought to you, yes, by the locals, but it's in data aggregation form. And I don't know about you, but what I've found with data aggregation is for every five reviews that are good, there's somebody who's disgruntled.
Right.
So you really never know what to make of it, of like, okay, is this an awful experience? Is this a good experience? So we're trying to bring a really detailed article about that, you know, that experience, whether it's a restaurant, a bar, a hotel, that we believe is rounding out and, you know, let the viewer make their own decision. So, you know, we are intentionally not a data aggregation site, and that's by design. Right. It's a hyper-local experience. So it's digital, and it's brought to you in a digital format, but it's very, very personal. And that will continue to evolve as we evolve the brand.
I like that approach because it basically sounds like you're approaching it like the old local newspaper did, right? Like you're just going to hit the local stuff and the local angles to everything.
Right. And you know what? That also helps us in the marketplace because the communities that we're in, that we become fabrics, part of the fabric of the community, recognize that we're there for that kind of intensity, focus, visibility, and partnership. And that also, you know, engenders a lot of followership from them, right? Because they know they're up against all those, you know, national brands that are in their markets, all that stuff.
Right.
So they can appreciate somebody coming in and going, hey, you know, we want to talk to you about you and yours, and we're going to promote that on our stuff, which is this big platform. And, you know, they truly appreciate us participating that way.
I would think that makes those doors much easier to get into for you and Absolutely. Your, you know, whoever your person is in that area that runs that, because you're one of them at that point.
There's an authenticity to it.
Yeah. Authenticity is a great word. You know, what we have heard in the markets that we open is this sensitivity to, you know, are you another business that's going to try to scam travel dollars away from me? You know, overpromise, underdeliver, whatever, you know, it's going to happen. Great people are going to come. The doors are going to be blown out, blah, blah, blah. Apparently that's been very prevalent. So when they see us in the market, you know, participating in organizations, they see our product with local content in it. They see the distribution points that we are showing the product in. you know, they start to say, hey, Nick, I know this guy, Scott. I want you to come to lunch with me. I'm going to introduce you so I can, you can make the connection. Because otherwise Scott wouldn't take my call because I'm one of 700 people asking him for money today.
Right. Yeah. Right. I want to shift. I want to shift gears a little bit because the other topic I wanted to make sure that we hit today was, in addition to all this what to do while you're there content, you've changed some things, especially digitally. You're helping people plan those trips ahead of time too. And I think a big thing you guys told me before we hit the record button was that people can now book trips from your site. You've got a partnership with Expedia, and it lets it gets people into your system, I think, earlier than maybe they were.
Yeah, so a little bit of history. So the original format of the product on the digital website was very silo, was very transactional, was very unique to the city, and wasn't, you know, about a long-term relationship. It was the content was only refreshed when the new magazine was printed, right? So now we're refreshing content on a regular basis. So we're engaging people all the time. We recognized early on that it would be really hard to try to scale as the next Expedia or Orbitz, right? So what if we just create a portal that lets people that come to the Travel Host brand use Expedia if they want to book a hotel room, rent a car, take a flight, or take a cruise? So we partnered with Expedia from an affiliate marketing standpoint. Kind of phase one is we're providing a reservation link on our homepage and on every subpage to let folks open up a new page, take care of that if they want to, close the page, still be on Travel Host. Down the road, what we want to do is we want to white label that page with the Travel Host visibility and brand. But that's, you know, that's kind of phase two. So that's been, you know, really well received. We promoted on the site. We're starting to see a little bit of traffic there. So we're excited about that. And, you know, and hopefully at the end of the year, we'll be able to have some different conversation with Expedia. But, Expedia has some subsets that may not be obvious to a lot of people. So they have some sub companies that drives their things to do that comes with the Expedia relationship that is the number one aggregator of things to do in the world. So if you go to Via Tours, which is there's that subdomain, or you go to things to do on Expedia and you click on it, you're able to look at things to do locally that far outnumbers any other engine creating it. So that's another tool that helps people be more informed about what to do locally that we thought was really cool about Expedia. And we love partnering with them.
The News Nirvana podcast is made possible by the generosity of Blox Digital. Blox Digital empowers content producers to connect with their worldwide audiences at scale and continuously transform to achieve their business goals. Contact Blox Digital today to learn more about how they can help you thrive. Connect with them at BloxDigital.com. I know that it's a relatively new partnership, but is that helping you keep people in the fold between trip A and then trip B?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's too early to tell, you know, how do we have to manage and massage that? I think
you don't know after 5 minutes.
Yeah, right. So I think Scott and I, our vision is that, our relationship with Expedia, our relationship with Events, which is an event aggregator, you know, helps kind of fill the palette for that destination traveler, so much so that we become more and more important over time because we have places for them to make the choices they want to make and they don't have to go to multiple places and do that. So, you know, if we can become kind of a single source point without falling prey to the aggregator syndrome of what to do, where to go, and how to do it for a traveler, I think we would be pretty happy with the outcome.
Do you have a strategy to stay in touch with users, say between their trip to Disney and when they're thinking about their trip to Washington, D.C.?
Yeah. So in two markets, we're testing an email marketing campaign to use attribute-based scenarios to identify individuals to contact with information about Travel Host. So we're testing that in two markets. We haven't come to a conclusion yet on how and what we're doing that. Separately from that, we've allowed users on the website to sign up for an individual newsletter for each city. So at the first day of every month, you'll get a newsletter with content from that city. And so we've started to promote that. That's brand new. That allows to start to aggregate some city-specific audiences that will help us in the future try to curate content, right? So if you're specific to Memphis and we know that you like looking at the offers for barbecue and you travel to LA and we know you're in LA, we should be able to send you barbecue stuff for LA because you love barbecue, right? That's our vision. And then on the very sort of far end of this, we're in some conversations with some companies that are very well known, very nationally known, very famous for creating events that aggregate email addresses that you can then promote to and using all kinds of things, you know, whether it's, you know, free mortgages paid for a year or car payment for a year or cruise vacations or whatever, but just kind of tickle some of the attributes that we're looking for in our audience to aggregate email addresses and then be able to populate that and communicate to them differently. So we've got, we're in the sort of the first steps of that. But that's the goal that we have, is to be able to build these touch points, attribute based individuals that we can communicate with electronically at whatever cadence they're comfortable with.
But before I go to the next thing, I need to tell you that I'm based in Kansas City. So I'm by ordinance obligated to point out that you mentioned barbecue twice and did not talk about Kansas City, which is, you know, barbecue the world.
It is.
Put that out there. Remind everybody.
Yeah. I'm genuflecting, bowing my head to Kansas City barbecue.
And Nick, feel free to apply for the open Kansas City position.
Oh, there we go.
If you would like to publish.
If you'd like
to. Yeah.
But we need to get you guys here. Absolutely. We should get you here. What you were just talking about, I'm curious how you are, and I know I don't really have the time to really dig in as deep as I want to on this, but I'm curious how you're collecting that data and really how you're kind of looking at it and using it to be able to do all of the things that you just talked about to nudge people based on attributes and data points that you're collecting.
Yeah. So, you know, we're aggregating email addresses. We're using double opt-in purchased email addresses to start to populate and seed lists. We're using, exist, because again, you know, 12 of our markets are existing, so we have existing databases in their markets, and then in the markets that we open up, we start to build and collect email addresses in that market, touch points in that market that we can then scrub against email marketing engines to see what kind of attributes they have, right? So we don't have a single source solution for all that, so we're kind of touching them in a couple of different places to try to build that profile, and then, you know, eventually we hope that being able to use any of the digital interaction as a way to aggregate some information about who the users are is another touch point that we'll use later down the road to help start to build some profile of the folks that are using our site, you know, and start to be able to do, you know, the normal things you do. Who's a high-end user of our site? What do they look like? What do they like? You know, can we take those attributes into other markets and look for lookalikes and then leverage that into more audience, right? So,
One of the other things. It's baby steps. You know, what's been really fascinating for me is how you can use these new powerful AI tools to start modeling audiences, right? So the old school logic, right, of course, is drive everybody to your site, put a cookie on them,
right,
track them everywhere they go. You know, and it, you know, and that was kind of like that argument of, you know, the early heydays, halcyon days of selling digital advertising, right? Is I can follow every single place they go. And yet the mathematics of it all, right, were that if you were running banner ads and you were on a good day, 99% of the population didn't click on your ad, right?
Right.
So what I've been really fascinated by, though, is the way that we can aggregate search behavior at a hyper-local level to really understand what people are looking for and what's the information that they are trying to track. And so we're also looking at models that allow us to model behavior just outside of our own environment as well, right? So clearly we've got our heavy users and we can look at the heavy users and how they're experiencing the site, But the AI, the ability of AI to model and understand what a customer looks like and how they're moving throughout an environment is unbelievable right now. And I think that's going to allow us to build sharper content, right? Because if we have an intimate understanding of what people are looking for and how they're experiencing a market, we can build the information purposely to ensure that they're getting the information they need from us to make the best decisions about their travel.
Yeah, and Scott has an interesting perspective. He comes from, a national recognized major agency. He ran campaigns for major car manufacturers nationwide. He's played in a very big, large space, and his ability to take a look at travel hosts and decipher where these opportunities lie and how those theories and things that he's experienced can apply into the travel host space, which is, decidedly much smaller than the areas that he's been in. It's really fascinating to watch and listen, because he can look at certain situations and extricate, dots that we can follow that makes it really interesting about what we do next, right? And again, this is all brand new to us, right? I mean, we're 15 months into this journey. Yes, the company's been around since late 60s, but it went through its heydays and it didn't have, kind of the strategic overview that we have now and a whole lot of things. Today we're looking at it holistically, universally from a national standpoint, and how do we build this world out and leverage it? And we're just getting started. And every day that, every day comes up with new ideas. It's like, hey, you can do this and hey, we can do that. And every once in a while we kind of stop and go, okay, we can't do all that. We got to do one thing.
That's my worst thing as a business owner, right? It's like, I love the ideas and then I got to remember, oh yeah, let's try one.
Yeah.
Right. That's right. And we're very, I definitely take the fail fast model, right? In digital, which is we'll try stuff. And if it blows up on the launching pad, we take the learnings and we just move on to the next thing.
That's why digital's great.
And also, the American behavior has changed, right? In terms of, it's if you're pure to your brand mission and you try things, the American public is very willing to forgive you if something doesn't work, as long as it was an honest effort. I mean, they'll be clear with you that they didn't like it, but it's not like you've been, that someone will walk away from you as a brand. So I think we're putting earnest efforts into the marketplace, and part of that hyper-local appeal that I think really works is when you have that sort of earnest brand strategy at the core, there's an understanding that we might try some stuff locally that isn't perfect. And what's great is our advertisers are also helping shape our content, right? Because they're vocal about knowing what works and what doesn't work, right? I just had a conversation yesterday with someone in San Diego, and he was walking me through how his boat tours change throughout the months, depending on the demographics of who's traveling and how that boat tour then has to change. I mean, it was fascinating information, right? And you'll never get that, by just looking at the data points on your website, right? So it's this combination of all things, to Orestes's point, AI data on our own site, and then that first person knowledge that we think we're going to be building a more intimate picture of a consumer than anybody else can do.
I want to, as we start to wrap up here, since you've mentioned kind of the overarching business model and you gave me the halfway pitch of taking the KC slot. Yeah. Tell me a little bit.
I'm going to close on that in a minute. I just laid the bait. That's all.
Tell me about that business model and how you're working with the individual market locations.
So we go through a selection process for a marketplace first, right? And we want to know, is it a destination that overtly people are interested in going to? Does it have sufficient hotel rooms? Does it have sufficient restaurants? Does it have attractions? Does it have some brand that people recognize, right? You say Orlando, everybody thinks, Universal Studios and Disney, right? Orlando's 8 counties worth of things, right? Much more than that. Fort Lauderdale, Miami, people come from all over the world there, right? So, we look at cities where we can make an impact to that information vacuum first and foremost. Okay, so we identify a city, we hire an individual in that market, we sit them down, we do an onboarding, we talk about the strategies you've heard us talk about, and then we talk about how do you put that into action. So now we go into the marketplace. and we break up the customer base into a couple of things. One, we call it the obvious choices. The thing that if they pick it up, they expect to see it in the marketplace, right? So, you know, we coach people heavily that you want to go get the obvious choices. You know, we'll be as creative as we can be to bring those people into the publication, because you want that credibility when they pick it up because they expected to see that. So that's one group. The second group then is the, you know, these are a bit more challenging, but they tend to be national organizations that have individual businesses that run an attraction, that run a restaurant. And those are, hey, you know, we want to fulfill that EAT concept. And so we're targeting those individuals. The third and the more challenging one is kind of the next tier of business owners that probably don't really understand how much the traveler spends in their business, but recognizes they need the traveler as a customer.
Right.
Right. Not a pretty obvious conversation we have all the time. So then we have conversations with those individuals then about programs and opportunities. One of the major attractions that we bring to the process is, hey, Nick, you've got a great barbecue restaurant in Kansas City. One of the things that we can do as you sign on to be part of Travel Host is we can author an article about your Kansas City barbecue and what makes it different, what makes it better, what makes it stand out in Kansas City, and what may make it stand out nationally. And we're able to bring that to the party and include that in the package. It's not just a transactional visual ad that you're going to promote, right? And so, and we coach our businesses into saying, hey, we're a complement to your marketing strategies. You know, we're not the end all be all. We want you to use us along with other things, because there's so many touch points that that traveler is going to visit. We want you to be in multiple places, but certainly include us in the buy. So then we bring to bear that this branded content is a familiar term that we use, to write about that business and be able to create some distinctiveness to their business as the traveler is experiencing their content, right? And then after that, obviously, we carry that to digital. And then, you know, we typically publish 4 times a year in a market. Our more successful markets publish 6 times a year. We do seasonality. We do thematic. We do a lot of maps and neighborhood stuff because people like to, you know, they go to Nashville, but, you know, they don't realize there's a great small town right next to Nashville called Franklin. That is wonderful to go through, right? So we talk about Franklin and we advertise Franklin and we promote Franklin or Brentwood, et cetera, right? So it's not just about the major city. And so we start to have those conversations. Then we have a distribution partner, which is really important for us. We physically partner with folks in our marketplace and we spread our product footprint across whatever the geographic boundaries of what we want. You know, in Phoenix, we're being delivered to over 300 locations. And Phoenix is one of the largest footprint cities we have in the United States. You know, in most cities, we're in over 150 locations when we deliver our product. And of course, we restock it. So we have this physical visibility of our product across hotels and restaurants and attractions and high traffic points and airports and visitor centers that are touching all kinds of destination travelers at all kinds of decision points across a really broad envelope. So we have that great story to tell about your opportunity for your message to get them when they most need it, right? And so we complement that then with the digital strategies, and that's kind of what we leverage from a business standpoint. You know, yeah, as we grow more product, as we do different things, as, you know, the digital world evolves, could there be other ways to do that? Absolutely, we're open to it, but that's kind of the strategy we're using now.
And Nick, you know, what's interesting about adding the digital product to the portfolio is it allows us to open a market much faster.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Because I can turn on, right? Once I have somebody in market, normally you're looking at 90 to 120 days of relationship building. I got to print the product. I got to distribute the product, yada, yada, yada. It can often be, you know, if we're motoring, it's a 3-month process. If we're being, you know, very methodical about it, it could be a 6-month process. Digital allows us to turn those lights on very, very quickly, right? We can actually, through some of the AI intelligence that we were talking about, we're going to be able to build a body of content in a market before we even drop somebody in.
Right.
And then that person can then go and bring the hyperlocal aspect to it and start turning on, you know, as we start appealing to marketers in the marketplace, or we're finding new information, we can start turning that on very quickly while we're still building the bones of the book. And then once the book comes out, and then we've got complementary pairs and partnerships. So, you know, that's what excites me is this is the part where I stress out OB, but, you know, you know, our ability to turn on markets is only constrained by the ability to ensure that we live our brand mission and put somebody in the market. So again, I'm super glad that you've applied for the position in Kansas City. Great. We'll get back to you in a week on where you stand. But I think there's no reason why we couldn't be in 50 to 100 markets in the next several years. It's just the digital product allows us to move so much faster, so much quicker. I think we're only constrained by our ability to do it the way we want to do it. We won't turn on a market if we can't do it in the travel host way, which is it will never be done purely through data aggregation, right? It just won't, because that's just not who we are. And it's not fundamental to our belief. Our belief is that you have to be in the community and of the community to help people understand how to support the community. So
because I think that's a thing that has been missing in a lot of publications. When you think big national, right, that you forget that the success in the market comes from local relationships and local content and things that those people can relate to.
There's an old school feel to it, but with a modern take on what that feels, right? I still think that people crave 1v1 contact. And whether you're doing that, part of the reason I think all the AI models are so popular right now is because people are trying to create a personal relationship with their digital device. That
it's absolutely.
Like, you could also just walk out the front door and go to your local coffee shop and talk to somebody. These are broader conversations for
another podcast.
Yeah, exactly. broader conversation for another podcast. But I do think that is, you know, but I think we're using digital in the right way and still bringing a very personal touch, because, like I said, fundamental to our belief is that these thriving local cultures are what people want to experience. And we're trying to give them access to that in any way that they want.
Well, you're still making, even though it's focused on travel and things to do and how to plan, it's still about local stories and local connections. It's about the people.
Right. Correct. Right.
And that's how publications work.
100%.
Scott, OB, thank you very much. I appreciate you guys taking some time today.
This was
awesome.
Thank
you for having us. We enjoyed it.
I'm going to ask one more question. So either tell me one great success story or one thing that keeps you guys excited about the future of Travel Host.
Oh, this one's easy. So we have a publisher in California. When he started, he literally had to take all of his advertisers to the bank to show them he had a real meaningful business, because he was in tough times and he might lose his house, and he had to prove that he had a viable business for them to refinance his mortgage. 11 years later, 75% of the advertisers that were with him when he started are still with him.
Wow. That is incredible retention.
It's amazing. And I don't have a specific story in my 6 months that stand out quite as strongly as that. But what I'll tell you is that when I talk to people about what I'm doing and how I'm doing it and the people that I'm doing it with, everybody's eyes light up. And there's like, it's clear to me that there's an untapped vein of interest of people who, yes, love the data aggregation sites for what they can bring you, but that it's feeling a little hollow compared to where people want information. So that's where I get excited, is when you're, you know, ordering a bagel at the local bagel store and I tell people what I do. They're like, well, when are you opening in West Los Angeles, Scott? Because we want to be a part of the process. So I think there's an excitement among local marketers to capture this destination traveler, and it's clear that people are like excited for something that's a little different in the marketplace. So that's what keeps me going all the time. That and the fact that we've opened Kansas City on this podcast. Wow. So this is fantastic.
Thank you so much.
It's going to be great.
Orestes, Scott, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Take care.
That will wrap us up for this episode. We'll talk to everybody next time. The News Nirvana podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or most any of your favorite podcast apps. The News Nirvana podcast is made possible by the generosity of Blox Digital. Connect with them at BloxDigital.com. The News Nirvana podcast is produced by Fredcasts. Think, speak, act now.